This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo, good afternoon, man.
Man, good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing today?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. It's been a fun week. Yeah, been a fun week. It's it's just crazy around ye old pipe shop and doing a lot of mail orders recently. We had a big drop of Samuel Gaywith tobaccos, and that was fun to get in and then to get right back out because they're so popular. And so, it's always fun to get those tobaccos that are hard to find. Samuel Gaywith, fantastic historic brand, some of the best tobaccos in the world, and they've gotten really hard to get in the United States here over the past couple of years. And it's due to a whole bunch of issues, which is kind of part of it's the government, part of it's Sam Gaywith's how much they make, and part of it's the distributor, the American distributors, let's just say they're not really pipe people. But anyway, we're fortunate to get some this year, and glad to get it back out. So that was a lot of fun, and just blowing and going. It's been fun around the old pipe shop. This is the time of year we've had a few cool evenings recently, and so we've got our seasonal pipe smokers starting to trickle back in, where the evenings are, maybe in the 60s, upper 50s, and people are sitting on their porch and enjoying their pipe. And so it's been good to see some of our old guys that, we have these guys that we only see between, let's say, October and May, and we miss them for the summer, and then they come right back in when we get that little cool snap. So kind of neat.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, it's been nice enjoying the cool weather. We actually busted out the fire pit last night, my wife and I.
Nice.
Yeah, had a really really nice evening.
Cool weather in Houston, 87 degrees.
Hey, we were in shorts, but it was cold enough to light some wood on fire. So that's my ideal in my mind.
That's great, man.
Cold enough to light something on fire.
Just do it. I'm for it.
Yeah, something else, man. I think I mentioned this on the previous episodes, but we're in the midst of also redoing the kitchen. I told you that.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Yeah, and so right now there might be a little construction noise in the background, so I apologize if you hear that, but. It's been interesting because all of our furniture, like it's the kitchen, but the kitchen and kind of the sunroom make up like a good like third, if not half, of the bottom of our house here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like, all of our furniture and everything has been like, shoved into the living room, and we don't have our access to our fridge or our washing machine. So we're just all hangry and nasty up in here right now. It's rough, man. I'm coming to you, and I kept on thinking about the yacht thing because I thought that was such a great analogy that you made a few episodes back.
In reference to that, thinking if you're a really super mega wealthy aircraft carrier kind of person, your biggest problem in life might be where you're going to park your yacht.
Yeah,
that's it. And to other people, we laugh at that, or maybe you say, "Man, give me a break." But for you, that might be a real issue that keeps you up at night.
Right. But at the same time, we're still going to judge you. And so that's the thing. And so I can't complain about this. We're getting a new kitchen. Like, that's
know, right?
great. What a great thing to have. And so anyway, it is coming along
right.
really, really nicely.
Anytime you do any kind of work around your house, it's a pain, and it's just having contractors coming and going, especially if you're not, you're kind of like me. You're not particularly handy with, building a lot of stuff, all this kind of, I've done some of that, just owning a historic home.
You learn how
to pick some of that stuff.
That's
up,
Belhaven handy, right?
It
That's
is.
Still above average, but well below like the average Mississippian.
Yeah, no, right. That's a great way to put it. So, I get it, man. It's just an inconvenience. So just self-medicate, smoke your pipe, drink your brandy. You'll be fine.
I'm trying to, man. I'm today in particular, I'm trying not to, and just try to be as clear-headed as possible, which
That's
is
good.
Dangerous. But hopefully this will be a good show, man. I'm just hearing your voice is medication enough.
Same, man.
We gotta talk about something, because I believe it was, I think it was maybe 2 weeks ago, we had the question come in, I think, or maybe yeah. I was the one that asked you the question about buyer's remorse, about, what was the most expensive pipe that you had buyer's remorse.
Yeah.
Man, we have started getting stories in about this, and I'm starting to think, man, we might have a dedicated episode to this concept here in the near future.
I think that'd be great. There's a lot of folks have, you know, made the plunge on those kind of pipes, and you know, their heart has called. You know, they've tugged on their heartstrings or whatever, but then you get it and you realize you don't smoke it, or maybe it's not your style, or I don't know. You know, there's all kinds of stories that have come in that some are pretty entertaining. So,
well, so that's the thing. I would be very curious. So I want to kind of, I think I mentioned it then at the time, but I want to add a little fuel to the fire here and say, if you've got a pipe, or if at some point in your kind of pipe journey in your collection, what have you, if you've owned a pipe that was, you know, maybe more money than you really wanted to spend, and you just kind of looked at it for a while, like, what have I done? Any kind of buyer's remorse as it relates to, like, expensive pipes, I'm very curious about. I think we've got kind of some fun stories already. I can't wait to gather those and put together an episode. So keep sending those in, and hopefully here in the next week or so, we'll be able to do that.
That sounds great.
Also, man, before we jump into it, we have got some new Country Squire Radio Pipe Club members. Now, these are, of course, the amazing folks that are supporting us over at patreon.com/Country Squire Radio. Joining at the Squire level is Kevin Ahim.
Kevin Ahim. Yeah, that's right. Oh, cool. That's great. Kevin Ahim.
Him or him?
M.
That name's got my dyslexia like going crazy right
no,
now.
No, you know, I reminded of Stewie Griffin when he's like, coo whip. Coo whip.
Kevin, man, thanks so much for your support. And then also at the Squire level, man, we've got supporting us Greg. Just Greg. No
just
last
Greg.
Name. Greg. Man. So we could literally make his last name anything, which is kind of a whole nother fun challenge. So Greg and Kevin, thank y'all so much for supporting at the Squire level, man. We got two new pilgrims as well. We got Alum Harrelson. I said it right. I'm sorry, Alan. Elaine. We have Elaine Harrelson. There we go. Nailed it. And we also have Joel Henderson. So thank y'all so much for sponsoring the show.
Alan Harrelson and Joel Henderson. I read those two names kind of fast, and I was like, oh, they're the same, you know, the same last name. But no, they're not at all. Yeah.
I think my dyslexia is rubbing off on you.
It's
man.
Rubbing
you
gotta, off, baby.
You gotta take something for that.
It's ridiculous. That man, Alan and Joel, thank you so much for hopping on. We're so grateful.
Absolutely, and we would not be able to do this show without y'all's support. So head over to patreon.com/Country Squire Radio to learn how you too can join the International Country Squire Radio Pipe Club and help make the show happen on a weekly basis without fail, somehow, for years, like 7 or something. Ridiculous.
It really is a miracle. Hey, Bo, real quick, one final announcement. This fall has been kind of quiet with announcements and events from the shop, just because we, other than new products coming out, haven't been able to have any events or anything, and that's still the case. I don't have anything to give you now, but to tell you now about any events. But we do have another product announcement that I'm really excited about. This kind of came out of the blue. It's a collaboration that we'll be actually revealing next week. We're really really excited about this. It came out of the blue, but you know, we have not at the Squire. You know, we sell and pride ourselves in selling really great pipe accessories. You know, we love accessories. Pipe people love accessories. We love the knickknacks and you know, ways to you know, tampers and you know, all kinds of little pouches and things of that nature. We are coming out next week with a our own custom pipe roll up. And I am really, really excited about this. It's a pipe roll-up that can actually, you know, it holds your pipe, it holds your pipe cleaners, your lighter, but it doesn't just hold your tobacco. It's actually made to hold an entire tin of tobacco. And it's just a really cool design. I'm really, really excited about it. I can't wait to tell y'all more. It's we collaborated with this company that does a lot of great canvas work, and man, just really fired up about that. So anyway, stay tuned. We'll have more information on that next week. But anyway, the Country Squire pipe roll up, man, for your pipe, and it holds an entire tin of tobacco, and we're pumped about it. So anyway, stay tuned.
Absolutely, man. All right, so I'm kind of nervous about this week's episode because, you know, normally we discuss it ahead of time. I mean, this show is planned. I know people sometimes don't think that, but it is.
I know,
right? Planned show. This particular week, just with the way that kind of scheduling all came together, you know, for the topic, you were working on it. And
right.
Rather than tell me what it was going to be, you just said to bring my Scottish accent or have it at the ready. And I thought, you know, that's... That's interesting. There's a couple of different ways we could go with that, really. You know, obviously, Blokes for the Liberation of Scotland apparently got this massive fan base after last week, even from just the... which, by the way, no video of me singing Scotch-Irish folk songs exists. However, my wife did inform me last night that there is actually a picture of the Blokes for the Liberation of Scotland. And if I find that, I make this commitment to you and the listeners, I will put that out. But anyway,
album
all that
cover, yes.
Yeah, right. That'll be the album cover. But no, so that horrible imagery notwithstanding, I'm supposed to bring my Scottish accent. But John David, what are we talking about this week?
Man, this week we were talking about the top three Scottish blends.
Okay, all right. I thought that might be the case. All right. That was the most obvious. I thought that might be the case. Hey, Scottish guy. I'm going to have to find it, man.
I know. Now that we've kind of led with that foot, it's like, man, I mean, is it really appropriate to just go ahead and offend an entire nation like that? I don't know. But, of course, we do that every week. So
Scotland. If you have to roll it around. You have to, like, roll it around your mouth with the Scotland. That's how you find the Scottish accent.
Oh, my gosh. Have you ever been to Scotland?
No, I've never been to Scotland. I have never been, but I have always wanted to go.
You need to go sometime. I've been one time. I had a very dear friend that was over there. I may have mentioned this on the show before. His wife was getting her master's degree at the University of Edinburgh, and so they lived in Edinburgh there for 2 years, and I went over there and stayed about 14 days one time. And man, beautiful country. Some of the most kind, interesting people on earth. Such a proud heritage, and man, it really identified with those folks over there. It was really, really pretty cool. So anyway, great. Man, just really awesome history. Of course, we love all the whiskeys that are created over there, and have a lot of ties to that culture. You know, certainly as Beau coming from the, you know, kind of Presbyterian background, Church of Scotland, you know, John Knox and the Scottish Reformation, all that kind of stuff, King James. And, you know, I don't know, there's a lot of just a lot of interesting ties there, not just from a someone of that descent, but also as a Southerner and also as a pipe smoker. You know, so many great pipe ties to that part of the world. And we thought we'd talk about the top three Scottish blends, and thought that might be fun. Bo, do you know what a Scottish blend is?
Yes, it is a blend of pipe tobacco that you pour scotch on.
Some people might actually interpret it that way. Believe
then
it or
I'm
not.
Good. Then I'm glad I made the joke. I wasn't being serious at all. Yeah.
It's fine. No, like, whew. You wipe the sweat across your brow. Yeah. Right. You know, it's funny that this is one of the most, you know, nebulously defined blend, definitions of a blend in the pipe tobacco world. We have so many different terms that we throw around: English, aromatic, Balkan, Scottish, you know, all these crazy names that we use to describe different types of tobacco. But Scottish is one of those that probably has the most variety. And, you know, with that, you kind of just have to pick one and roll with it. And you know, it's like you and I have talked before, you as, you know, Presbyterian. And, you know, it's like if someone asks you, Bo, if you're a Calvinist, the safest answer is to ask back, what do you mean by that?
Right. I mean, like, there's a couple points here.
It's not to answer immediately if you're a Calvinist. It's to say, well, you tell me what you think that means, and then I'll tell you if I think I'm that.
Man, I am dealing with, you know what, I'm not going to go into it on this podcast, but yes, exactly.
But you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying.
Exactly what you're saying.
So, man, you know, if someone asks you, man, are you a fan of Scottish blends? Well, the appropriate response is, well, tell me what you think a Scottish blend is. And if they tell you, well, it's a syrupy aromatic that's covered in, blackberry compote, then, you know, that's probably not what you would think of as a Scottish blend, and you can say yes or no to that. But, typically, they're all over the map, the definitions. Today, for our purposes, for Scottish blends, we're talking about Virginia and Oriental dominant blends with Latakia in a supporting role. And sometimes they'll have something to mix it up in there, a Black Cavendish or Darkfire Kentucky that can kind of provide provide a supporting role, maybe a little spice or some depth, some you know, sweet richness or body to it, which is kind of fun. But the Latakia is there. It's kind of a variant on an English blend. It's one of those where the you know, the Latakia is there, but it's in the background. It plays more of a supporting role. You know, when you talk about Scotland, you know, you hate to say it's a variant of an English blend. You might be safer to say an English blend is a variant of a Scottish blend, because you don't want to make people in Scotland feel like they're inferior to the English, because they're not. Very, very important. But anyway, it's that's kind of where we're going, though, with these definitions. So, you know, it is fall season, Bo, and a lot of folks will kind of start, you know, switching this time of year over to those, you know, more savory blends we have during the summertime, aromatics, you know, blends that might have a berry essence or some type of, you know, baking spices or something. We think vanilla, caramel, those nice, you know, fun, you know, aromatic blends that we smoke in the hot weather. You know, a lot of folks that smoke those blends at this time of year start to gently migrate over to the non-aromatics. And a Scottish blend, in the definition that we're talking of, is really a good midway point. It's kind of a stopping point, maybe second base or something on the way home, you know, heading in that direction towards the non-aromatic side of the grid there. You know, a lot of folks will start, you know, switching, you know, adding some English style blends, adding some of the Latakia or Perique in. And Scottish mixtures are like this are good. It's that halfway step. These Virginias and Orientals, they really are tend to be, well, in a lot of cases, that, you know, flue cured tobacco, bright, you know, a little lemony, a little zesty, some grassy flavors. The Orientals provide a note of muskiness, a floral note. There's, you know, the cedary background that's kind of behind there. And then the dash of Latakia that kind of rounds it out and gives it more more depth and body and kind of undergirds the blend, you know, with just a little, you know, rounds off some of the harsh edges a little bit. So so anyway, we thought we'd talk about that. Yeah, three Scottish blends coming out of the gate. The first one I'll mention today is a great tobacco. It's a little hard to get right now, kind of like the Samuel Gaywith tobaccos that we talked about at the beginning, at the very beginning.
And it's called Freedom!
I know.
Sorry.
Which actually is hard to get right now.
Right. Well, that is. Yeah,
that's a great point. It is hard to get right now. But yeah, man, the first one we'll talk about is from a historic Scottish company. This tobacco is made in Germany now, but it is Rattray's 7 Reserve. Rattray's tobacco, it's been around a long time, of course, famed Scottish you know, tobacconist that has pipes and tobaccos. You know, a lot of these, you know, things are not made in that part of the world anymore, but still kind of maintains that design and heritage. And man, Rattray's 7 Reserve, excellent tobacco produced by Kohlhaas in Germany. And it's available in a 50-gram and 100-gram tin. I love Rattray's tins. They're, you know, they're you know, vacuum seal tins. The little coin style ones are real typical of what you would expect. But the 100-gram tins are like taller, kind of little, you know, cans. They're just kind of fun. I don't know. They're kind of tall, cylindrical.
Talk about kinda, the soup can style.
Yeah, they're like soup cans. Yeah, it's like an elongate, maybe a little taller than like a Campbell's soup kind of thing. But they're really neat. You know, I just love their packaging. It's simple, and the color schemes are very simple. But it feels historic, like you're buying into, you know, a piece of history and things of that nature. And of course, these blends are all really good.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about this because I mean, you know, as you mentioned, Rattray's the very very simplistic. I mean, honestly, there's almost like a kind of a modern classic merger feel to the way that you kind of see their tens. The 7 often depicted with a little dot on top of it. Just curious if you knew what that was all about.
I don't have no idea. Yeah,
if anybody does, was that like a font choice, or is that like, does that mean something? That was something that I was kind of scratching my head on.
Yeah, and sometimes it's on there and sometimes it's not. I know what you're talking about. Sometimes it's not even present, but then there's other times that little speckle is there. So I don't know. What do we call the thing on the bottom of a cutty? The stiletto.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The pipe stiletto, right.
The pipe stiletto on the bottom of the cutty. Yeah. So anyway, man, 7 Reserve, flue-cured tobaccos. It's, you know, augmented by these floral orientals, which really shine in this tobacco. Lots of kind of a subtly sweet, sour flavor that's there. And then backed up by Cyprian Latakia. And so this is one where, you know, you will know that the orientals and Virginia are front and center here. It also has this kind of unflavored Black Cavendish that is, you know, floating around in there as well. And so occasionally you'll get that just kind of, you know, sweet heat note that, you know, is just really pleasing. It smooths it out, makes the room note kind of nice and things of that nature. This is a ribbon cut tobacco. And it's similar to Rattray's more popular blend, Red Rappery, which, you know, 7 Reserve, as much as I like it, it's not one of their more popular blends. It's a blend that is a little easier to get than some of their other stuff, although all Rattrays are kind of hard to get nowadays. But Red Rappery is a tobacco of similar nature, but, you know, it's got this more, it's a heavier, it's a more of a cigar-like flavor, very, you know, barbecue, bready, very similar ingredients, but kind of different proportions type of thing. And so the 7 Reserve is going to back off on that, bring some of that bright leaf forward. Some of the orientals are, I don't know how they're rounded out, but somehow that blend is, you know, just a little more palatable for an all-day smoke. So, so yeah, Rattray 7 Reserve, they are front and center and number one for my Scottish style blends.
All right. Well, there you go. It's Rattray 7 Reserve. All right. So that's the first one. What about the second one?
The second comes GLP's Chelsea Morning. Now, what's funny is I don't know if Greg would actually refer to Chelsea Morning as a Scottish style mixture, but this is a tobacco that is one of those that, you know, has the ingredients to kind of meet my definition. So we're going to roll with it. And and Greg, I know, listens, tunes in occasionally, and if he has opinions on that, man, we'd love to hear from him. But yeah, you know, GLP's, Greg, he obviously one of the best blenders in the world. Love what he does. He collaborates with Cornell and Deal to produce all his, you know, fantastic tobaccos, and has been coming out with hits for, you know, a couple decades now. But it's available in a 2 and an 8 ounce can. It came out in 2009, the Chelsea Morning, and it's just a great tobacco. Really good. The Virginia's here. You get some bright and some ruddy leaf in this blend. It's got a really kind of average moisture content, and so it's, you know, ready to go as soon as you pop the tin, I think. And Latakia, and then is in the background here, but then which is very present, but it's a supporting role. And then this one has the addition of Perique, which is kind of fun. And so the Perique is in the back. It adds that spiciness. And this is a fantastic sipping tobacco. It's a tobacco that, man, just really goes great with, you know, your front porch and, you know, petting your dog on the back of the head or working in the yard or whatever. I mean, this is just a great, you know, kind of all day, every day tobacco. It's your medium roast coffee and just has a ton of flavor, but is not superlative in anything so much that it really knocks you over the head. So you can smoke it at any time. Kind of a moderate nicotine level, very, you know, consistent throughout the bowl. That Latakia stays kind of in the background while still making itself, you know, present throughout all your puffs. And so, you know, it's just a good tobacco. But again, you know, in those, you know, Greg P. GLP's, you know, what they do, they, you know, collaborate with Cornell and Deal, who produces this stuff and then sells it. And they come in those Cornell and Deal style tins, which are the non-vacuum sealed, we call them the biscuit can style style tins, and it's available in a 2 ounce and an 8 ounce tin, and man, just a really good good tobacco. So
now Chelsea, and you know, we're Mississippians, but Chelsea's that's like an area in New York, right?
I actually think I'm not sure, because embarrassingly, I've never been to New York. I don't know if I've mentioned that on the show before, but I've never been to the state or the city of New York. But this is actually part of GLP's old London series. So,
see, that's what I was going to ask, because I feel like I'm right on this. I think Chelsea is like a maybe a district in New York or something like this, or maybe like maybe it's just a street. But given the fact that obviously the you know, the art around the Ten, and then that it is part of his London series,
yeah,
this is where our British listeners are going to be like, what are they talking about? Is there also a Chelsea, or is this like a reference to like Winchester or something like that?
Well, that's the thing. If there's a Chelsea, New York, they probably got it from a Chelsea, England.
That would make some sense. I love how just displaying the ignorance all over.
It's great. Apologies. We've offended our Scottish listeners. We've offended our you know, English listeners now. All we have, we can get the entire empire now if we just do Northern Ireland and Wales, and then we'll have
right.
everything covered.
That's right. UK can't agree on anything except for their hatred of us.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. Or maybe each other. I don't know. But, man, just a great tobacco. And, of course, this lineup that he has, the old London series, a lot of fun ones here. Regent's Flake, Temple Bar, Sixpence, Gaslight. I mean, there's a lot that Sextant we think of, a lot of tobaccos that feature a lot of complexity here. You know, he is very... you know, uses a lot of subtlety in his blending and interesting casing techniques and toppings, very, you know, deftly used here and there. And so anyway, good tobacco and something that you should try from GLP's if you haven't before.
All right. Yeah. And of course, GLP's excellent pipe tobaccos just as a whole. You know, I just mentioned the, you know, I've always gone back and forth. Like I really love the way in which, like, there's always just this narrative that goes along with all of his blends. And, you know, it's interesting because there's a part of me that it just loves consistency. Like, you look at something and you know exactly what it is, right? And so GLP's has the very definitive, you know, brand logo of the pipe tobacco leaves just kind of bound together. And it's gorgeous. It's great. And that kind of sits on top of all of these various, you know, imagery that kind of speak to the narrative of the pipe tobacco. And I always just find that there's a lot of creative ways in which they present his particular blends. So yeah, tip of the hat, Chelsea Morning, Scottish blend number two. Let's hear it for number three.
Yeah, man. This one, man, is something that, of course, is a very storied tobacco. It's a stalwart of the pipe tobacco world and something that will be immediately recognized by so many people. And I consider it a Scottish-style blend because of its ingredients. And this is something that everyone should try at some point. It's Peterson's My Mixture 965. Peterson, of course, is the name on this tin now. But historically, this was a Dunhill blend. Dunhill, of course, the famous pipe maker and tobacconist of London, produced these tobaccos there in London until, you know, the early 1980s. And then the tobacco, you know, we've talked about this before briefly, but the tobacco got split off from the pipe company. And so the pipe tobacco was sold off. Those blends and brands were sold off to other blenders. Murray's, I think, was the time in Ireland there who took those blends. But, you know, so now, since the early 80s, the Dunhill Tobaccos and Dunhill Pipes were separate entities. And then, of course, Dunhill, the name eventually faded, and then they brought it back as a Peterson brand. But, man, great tobacco is very historic, something as a Mississippian that's very important to us. Do you know why, Bo?
I don't.
You don't? This was William Faulkner's favorite.
Oh, of course. Yeah, man.
Yep.
I always thought Faulkner only smoked pipe tobacco from the country squire.
But he did not, because he was dead before we opened.
<I'm just kidding. laughs> Mississippi lore, his ghost.
No. I know, right? Yeah, we would think he would approve of us, but yeah, he passed away earlier. Yeah, so man, My Mixture 965, a favorite of Faulkner, along with a few others, and you know, they talk all those stories about when he passed away, finding these random cans of these things just sitting around and full of little trinkets and whatnot, and so but a legendary tobacco. Something that is just an excellent blend. It's an all-day smoke. It's an English-style blend with that kind of backed-off Latakia a little bit, which gives it a little more subtlety and natural sweetness, I think. You know, for the past, you know, couple of decades, really, this tobacco has been made by Scandinavian Tobacco Group, which, of course, you know, friends of the show, produce things like, you know, Orlick and Escudo and Peter Stokkeby, so many great tobaccos, but it's made in the old Orlick factory there in Denmark, and they still produce this stuff, and it's, of course, available in a 50-gram tin, but is also available in bulk, which is kind of neat. You can purchase this tobacco in a bulk form and, you know, see that. You know, occasionally sometimes at tobacconists, they'll have this available. So, but it's sold under the Peterson name now, but same exact tobacco that it's been for a very long time. Of the three tobaccos we are talking about today, it's probably the strongest in flavor. It's probably got more of that Latakia richness, what you would expect from a quote-unquote English-style blend when you open up the tin, that, you know, kind of peaty, muskiness, barbecue that emanates from the tobacco. It's certainly there, and therefore is probably the most full-bodied of the ones that we're talking about today. So Peterson Tobaccos, you know, and historically Dunhill Tobaccos, these are tobaccos since they've been produced in the same factory that have been maybe a little on the drier side, not quite as moist as some of their counterparts, but it's a ribbon cut. It's something that, you know, in a vacuum sealed tin, I will take out and kind of prep a little bit. I might even let it sit out on the counter some and then load my pipe to let that tobacco fluff up a little bit. But man, excellent tobacco. The room note is, you know, not as bad as some of these other blends. And, you know, it's always a crowd pleaser as far as the flavor goes. And so, you know, I just really highly recommend it, and think if, you know, if it's a tobacco you haven't tried before, it's a good place to start. And it's a good place to start if you're if you're an aromatic smoker and kind of want to stick your toe in the water of these English style blends or Latakia blends. This 965 as a quote unquote Scottish mixture, it can kind of get you in the door there and introduce you to some of these more rich, you know, flavors that, you know, that are so complex. So, yep.
Yes. Man, my mixture 965. Okay, so I want everybody right now who's got this tin on you to pick it up and look at it. Oh, you know what? This is a weird like kind of intersection right here, but I'm going to throw it out there for folks that like forget that we'll get this. All right, look at that tin.
Okay.
Look at that M. And like, what comes to mind for you? If you are an X-Men fan, what comes to mind for you? I'm sorry, man. Like, there's two things. When you see that M, it looks like the Magneto symbol. And and frankly, Scarlet Witch, who's his daughter, wears a kind of a headdress that is almost the exact shape of the M here. So anyway, I'm not saying that my mixture 965, a favorite of William Faulkner, is actually a front for the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, but I'm just saying that like they got the Magneto M. that's there.
I mean, crazier things have been said and pulled off. So
there you go. I'm sorry. Just good. Every single time I see this tin, like this has come up before, but like there was that M, man. That M is the Magneto M.
I think it looks like Gumby's legs. You know, I could see that. Man, honorable mention for Scottish style tobaccos today. It's a tobacco we've talked about before. This is something that is a really great blend that I would highly recommend folks try as well. But it's been a feature of Tobacco Talk before. It's Blair Gowrie by Drucker & Sons that is also blended by GLPs. Man, just a fantastic tobacco. You can go back. We've discussed that before. But it's a match of one of that tobacconist historic blends that Greg reproduced and then is sold now by Smoking Pipes. So really good, smooth, and creamy tobacco and, you know, something you also ought to try. The Latakia is a little bit more forward in this tobacco, but it's a great blend and worth you checking out.
Good stuff, man. Well, that seems like some good Scottish. <I'm so sorry>. Oh man, like they've all turned off. Everybody in Scotland, our downloads have plummeted in Scotland. Man, no, that's a great that's a great top three for the Scottish mixtures right there. I am curious where of the various. Lanes of pipe tobacco, like where would you rank Scottish for you? I mean, like, is that like on up there? Is it lower tier? Like, you know, in terms of your rotation?
Yeah, no, I think it's probably in the middle for me. Of course, I tend to be more of a Virginia smoker, which, you know, a lot of Scottish blends do major in that, if you're defining it the way I defined it today. Again, that's the, you know, what do you mean by Scottish mixture? Well, tell me what you think it means, you know. Along in that, you know, it's probably right there in the middle. I smoke Virginias, I like Virginia Periques, and then we kind of filter down towards... you know, these Scottish style mixtures and occasionally an aromatic, and then English blends would probably be, you know, the least popular of what I historically have smoked, but or the least often. But yeah, you know, they feature those bright leaf tobaccos. It's almost like an English blend that, you know, that where they just backed off on the Latakia a little bit, which, you know, for me, I like Latakia more as a condimental tobacco, you know, at the most 5-10% of the blend, and not some of these bombs that we see today really featuring that leathery, you know, in your face note that kind of knocks you over, which so many people love. And, you know, it's funny, those blends are great, they sell, but it's just not particularly my cup of tea necessarily. So, but I do like these Scottish style mixtures. And, you know, I think I even mentioned before, someone asked me recently, you know, what is your favorite tobacco that you've blended yourself, or you're, you know, maybe the one you're most proud of? And I think I mentioned Bag End as being that, which I stand by. A lot of that bright leaf and some Turkish Izmir in there, and just a background, a little undergirding of Latakia. And so I enjoy that tobacco, and you know, hope other folks do too.
All right, man. Well, good stuff. Okay, well, of course, the great thing is about all of these wonderful pipe tobaccos is that if you want to make sure that you are being able to pick up on all the various Scottish flavoring that you find at every single ribbon cut that comes your way, you need to pack your pipe. And I'm talking about a good quality corn cob pipe from Missouri. You know what? They're going to take back the money.
Your sponsorship's canceled. Yeah.
Missouri Meerschaum. Of course, our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum, a quality corn cob pipes.
That is right. That is right. We love our friends at Missouri Meerschaum, of course, and thank them for sponsoring us. This week's corncob pipe is featured as the Patriot corncob pipe. I thought this was appropriate because...
because Mel Gibson was the Patriot and he was also Braveheart.
That is exactly why I thought we would do the Patriot today.
Is that really it?
No, not at all. But it's better than my tie-in.
Did you get drunk and yell at some cops? No, never mind. Keep going.
Too soon, man. Too soon. No, the Patriot corncob pipe, it looks kind of like if you took Abe Lincoln's hat and turned it upside down. The stovetop pipe hat that's kind of turned upside down. Just a really interesting looking pipe. It's got this kind of thicker, uniquely shaped rim that narrows down, and then has a nice billiard style bowl. So comes in a bent and a straight variety, very attractive, and it's a non-filtered pipe, and is available for only $13.29, and you can get it from the source at corncobpipe.com. Go there, they'll ship it straight from Washington, Missouri, and of course do such a good job just you know, caring for these great pieces of cob that they turn into these awesome smoking machines. So go there, order one, they'll send it right to your door, and we hope you enjoy it.
All right, man. And hey, be sure to pick one up today. It's a great way to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know you appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
Question of the week. This week coming in from Michael Lodge. Michael saying, thank you for being a podcast that has refreshed my soul and refined my palate. I have smoked a pipe for 20 years in isolation. I was a closeted pipe smoking pastor from the South. Man, we've got a couple of those that listen. I now live in the PNW. And, Pacific Northwest, and have found a faith community that enjoys friendship, faith, and fine tobacco. You have been a big part of that for me. In fact, Bo has inspired me to look into studying tobacco as a hobby. Starting this has actually opened up a treacherous sinkhole that I don't know how to resolve. Being a person of faith who also loves smoking my pipe has brought me to this question. Does fair trade tobacco exist? And can I have confidence in the tobacco industry isn't a harmful or neglected industry for the workers in its countries? Help save my faith in tobacco, Michael Lodge. Man, talking about a conscientious pipe a connoisseur.
Boy, pipe tobacco connoisseur. You're not kidding, man. And what a great question. This is something that you know, deserves you know, being looked at. There are no certified fair trade tobaccos that I'm aware of available. So, you know, and again, tobacco's grown all over the world. We've got, you know, leaf that, of course, is here in the United States and in all parts of, you know, Africa and Asia. And, you know, even leaf now, particularly cigar leaf that's coming from South America. And also bright leaf, you know, we've got Brazil tobacco that's on the market as well. And then the European things we think about, the Latakia and the, you know, Orientals, the Macedonian tobacco and all this. So, you know, there's not something where it's, you know, certified fair trade or anything like that. But, you know, a lot of the tobaccos will describe the countries that the leaves come from. Now, generally, they don't, but sometimes you will find that, you know, where, you know, tobaccos are, you know, made with this kind of, you know, African leaf or this type of stuff from the Old Belt and, you know, the United States. And so, you know, those might be things to think about, but honestly, you know, it's really hard to tell. And, you know, some folks are, you can get on the websites of some of these tobacco, you know, manufacturers and see kind of where they're getting their ingredients from, like if they say or give any hint of that at all. You know, the problem with it is a lot of them don't kind of give you any idea of where the ingredients come from. Just like when you go to the bakery, they're not really telling you at the bakery where they got the sugar, where they got the eggs, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So, you know, it's a hard thing to parse out, but there's really not an easy way to tell if they're you know, that type of thing, you know, and so, you know, maybe look at where the, you know, this manufacturer, where it gets the bulk of its blends and go from there. Of course, we love our American tobaccos that, you know, particularly Cornell and Deal that makes rich American heritage, uses a lot of USA leaf. You know, that might be a start for you. Anyway, good luck. It's one of those things that we think you should have a lot of faith in tobacco, but can't really guarantee much on the production side when it, you know, as far as the worker compensation and all that kind of stuff.
Great question, Michael. And hey,
great question. Yeah.
If you got a pipe question for us, be sure to send that in. show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Quick fire, Chris Jones. All right, man. Michael Thompson coming in saying, okay, here are the quick fire questions. I was trying to see if there is a theme here. I don't think there is. I think it's just here comes the quick fire questions. All right,
you ready?
Okay, yeah. Which is so weird. Like, that's the way it used to be, but like, I feel like everybody sends it with themes now, and so it's almost expected. But no, this is great. This is awesome. All right, here we go. You know what? There is a theme here. I think this is a quarantine edition. But like what you're stuck at home type situation.
Okay,
I think
yeah.
I could be wrong, but okay. Here we go.
All right.
No phone or no computer. Which one would you rather be? Which situation would you rather be in?
Oh, I would rather have no phone any day of the week. Like 9.5 times out of 10, man. Just leave the phone, man. My phone. I'm sorry, it's broken. My battery died. man, give me the laptop because at least I can have a nicer screen for Netflix on that. But the text messages and the phone calls will not trickle in.
Man, I Vacations. I miss vacations because on vacations is the only time where I was like, I have no phone. I have no computer. I did like all the work in advance for every single client I had, like, you know, 2 weeks ahead of time just to make sure that I could be completely unavailable. And I haven't been able to do that in a long time. Oh my gosh.
It's been a long time.
It has. So I would say, I guess no computer because I still need to get work done and I can do everything from the phone. So
poor guy.
Yeah. I'd rather be on vacation than neither. But yeah. Board game or card game?
Board game. I think I enjoy board games more than card games.
If we're talking poker, I like poker. But if we're talking like card games, like non poker card games, then
like anything other than poker.
Then yeah, I think I'm probably going to be board games as well. I mean, okay. Yeah, I think I can say that pretty broadly. Sleep in a bed or sleep on the couch?
In the bed. I like taking a nap on the couch occasionally, but man, I don't know. Give me the bed, big covers and soft and warm and all that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 9 times out of 10, the bed. The couch does come in clutch, like late at night if it's kind of hot in the house or something like that, and you can't fall back asleep, and you just kind of move to the couch.
Yep.
And then you fall asleep there for like 30 minutes or something, then you head back. It's like, oh, but then that's like double bed, really. That's all that
is.
Yeah. All right. Doing the dishes or doing the laundry?
I would rather do the dishes 12 times out of 10. I hate laundry. I hate it. I don't have any desire ever to do laundry. The dishes I can sometimes talk myself into enjoying, but typically not. But I'll suck it up and do it. But laundry, I hate laundry.
Yeah. No, I will do as many dishes as I have to keep me from doing laundry. Absolutely. Yep. The dirtier the better. Send on the dishes. I'll handle it. I do not do laundry. Take a bath or take a shower?
If I could, I'd take more baths because I enjoy them more. But I, you know, typically take a shower. So if I had to pick between the two and time weren't a constraint, give me the bath.
Yeah. No, same. Absolutely. And yes, with my Pinot Grigio. Mark.
Pinky's out. That's right.
Oh, man. All right. Well, guys, great quick fire questions coming in again from Michael Thompson. And if you've got some quick fire questions for us, be sure to send them in. That is show at countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show at countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Listener feedback coming our way from Jim Clough. Man, Jim is like always sending in great ideas.
And feedback
on the show.
It's great.
I'm excited for this because I kind of want to like dissect this here a little bit with you on air and also do so. So let me just go ahead and set this up. This is his feedback is he has listed off a couple of different show ideas and like there's like five categories and he's got like even those broken down. There's a lot to unpack in this email. And what I love about this is oftentimes, John David hates it whenever I propose show ideas on air because then
Then I feel obligated.
Yeah, now we got to do it. But it's always the ones we discuss off air that never come to fruition. ones on air. That's accountability. But this is good. This isn't me bringing it. This is Jim bringing it. So you know we got to listen.
So you really have to do it now.
Exactly. All right. So here we go. Heroes of the Bowl, the Shackleton edition. On the endurance, an incredible story, almost of all a crew of almost entirely pipe smokers. Shackleton's notes of the expedition, he talks about how their pipes and tobacco helped them face the incredible hardships. So are you familiar with Shackleton?
I'm not. No,
okay,
not at all.
Okay, so I did a little bit of looking into this. I want to say they're surrounded by ice. Jim's going to hate us.
Hey, this is the first time I've read these ideas, so I can blame ignorance.
Okay, all right, here we go. Well, here we go. So, Sir Ernest Henry Shackleton was an Irish and Antarctic explorer who led three British expeditions to the Antarctic. I knew there was ice. So, one of the principal figures of the period known as the quote heroic age. So, this is we're talking 1874. He's born in Ireland. As Jim mentions, man, there is some photo records of some serious pipe smokers on this expedition. Might be worth taking a look into for sure.
Okay, all right, good call.
Definitely want to do a little research up on. So that's a good thought. All right, next one. Okay, tobacco talk. All right, so you know, for a tobacco talk, he recommends a couple of various tobaccos. Now, I think this is great because the first one he recommends is a top three Scottish blend. That worked out very well. He also mentions English, Oriental, and Bakken blends. He says, for my fellow Lovecraft geek John David, a review of Lovecraft-inspired tobaccos, Cornell and Deal Elder Ones, series of Kern Byron's at Mountains of Madness blend, and others. Now, this actually piqued my interest because I know, I haven't seen it yet, but I know that HBO has a Lovecraft series that I think it just finished its first season. And it's been on my to-watch list. I've been kind of waiting for people to tell me if it's worth, you know, I never watch anything new. I wait till it all comes out, and then when everybody says it was good, then I binge it. You know what I mean? But the reviews, I think, have been pretty good. And I mean, like, I don't know Lovecraft. I know, like, Octopus, right? With Cthulhu. I know Cthulhu is like a giant octopus man, and he has something to do with nightmares. But anyway, so all that to say... I love any kind of like pop culture connection that we can talk about here. But yeah, Lovecraftian pipe tobaccos. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it'd be fun. There's a lot of stuff out there. And of course, me and Cornell and Deal did a great series on, you know, inspired by Lovecraft that I think would be good. Ken Byron's Mountains of Madness that is available at KB. Ken Byron Ventures, man, great tobacco. It was our artisan blend of the year last year. Would be certainly awesome to look into.
All right. And then he also says another one here is top three tin arts. Yeah, tosses this one to me specifically, which I have never, I actually kind of feel bad, Jim. I've been, kudos to you. I've never thought of this idea, and it's a great idea.
Yeah,
he also recommends, you know, possibly even, you know, you could do almost like a holiday themed one, but he talks about, you know, Sir Walter Riley, Flying Dutchman, is kind of some standouts in the 10 departments. So yeah, of his list, I think those are the ones we'll pull out here to kind of marinate on and see what folks say.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. I like it. We'll see, see where that
really,
goes.
And I think that Lovecraftian one has legs, cause I would love to be educated. Cthulhu. I know him. I know that guy. You know, what with the
squid,
yeah.
face. Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, there you go. man, it's been a great episode, if you ask me.
A great episode.
Yeah. You know, I keep going back and forth between, like, you know, I start off with Braveheart and I end up with Shrek. Well, no, I start off with Braveheart, I go to Shrek, and then I just end in something completely incoherent. Which I feel like that's a Scottish accent. I feel like that's how you.
that's how Southerners talk. So that's
you know
sense.
that's yeah. why we can do it, right? Because everybody makes fun of our accents, so therefore,
right,
we can make fun of it. That's the logic. That sure,
whatever helps exactly. us sleep at night, man.
Well, hey, man, I know one of the things that helps us sleep, and that is the amazing support of our amazing patrons over at patreon.com/countrysquireradio. If you haven't, head over there to learn how you can support the show. You can also keep up with us throughout the week. You can follow me. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_countrysquire.
Of course, all that information and more can be found at countrysquireradio.com. Yes, sir. Oh, man. I got to tell you, it's the kids schooling and the works and the construction.
Yeah, it's a lot going on, man. You know, like I said, use your pipe to soothe the old soul. Maybe have a nip of that fancy cognac and just take it.
Don't tempt me, Frodo. I'm trying like today. I told myself that going into the day, I was like, I'm going to be completely substance free. I want to try to
keep
the body clear and the mind focused, and that
keep it clear.
Those two things don't seem to coincide, to be honest. Anyway, we'll make it. Hey, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.